This morning, I am trying something very different. Not only did I put the bulletin that Miss Sally sent me, but I put my sermon on my Kindle. I'm fully electronic this morning, and it seems to be working fine. If it doesn't work, we'll see how well my memory works. Let us start out with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this has been a very interesting sermon for me because you have opened up my eyes to a reality that I hadn't realized. And for some people here, it's going to be an eye-opening experience also. I pray that your Holy Spirit moves in our hearts in such a way that we can take in this profound knowledge from you and incorporate it into our lives in a moment-by-moment basis. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything we have, even our very lives and our bodies belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I am in 2 Corinthians, as I read to the children, and I'm going to read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 10. Now I'm going to move back and forth through some of these verses, and we're going to build upon this verse 10. I still hear a few rustling pages. I'll wait till we're all on the same page. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. It's his second letter. And he's talking about our heavenly dwelling. And in verse 10, we read, "For thus saith the Lord, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." That is very interesting. We're going to have a judgment coming. There's judgment coming. There's several judgments coming. We all know about the white throne judgment of sinners when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on his white throne and hell is emptied. The angels are going to be judged. But this judgment is unique to the believers, okay? Do you know that you're going to be judged from the time you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior until either we die or are taken up in the rapture? This is not a judgment of sins, for Christ took them upon himself when he went to the cross. This judgment is of our actions performed in our earthly bodies, either to the glory of God or for selfish desires. It can't be in the middle somewhere. It's either one or the other. The word judgment has for most of us an unsettling feeling to it. Judgment. Isn't that an unsettling feeling? When I hear the word or I put it in my mind, judgment, your mind starts racing around all kinds of different things. You're thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to be judged on? Did I do the right thing? Where did I mess up? I'm being judged? Yes, we're going to be judged. I want you to participate with a little experiment with me. I would like you all to close your eyes and in your mind, quietly say to yourselves, judgment. Have you all done that? Okay, keep your eyes closed. Now, do you feel a sense of condemnation or exhilaration at that word judgment? Now, with your eyes still closed, I want you to speak out loud the word judgment on the count of three. We're all going to do this together. And I listen to how other people say the word judgment, okay? compared to your own word judgment, all right? One, two, three. Judgment. Did it change the picture in your mind? Did anything change of what you were thinking earlier when you said judgment just to yourself? And now you hear judgment said by everybody else? For we're all going to be judged. Did you picture yourself standing before an earthly courtroom and an earthly judge? Or did you picture yourself standing before God in the heavenly realms with open scrolls and the recordings of your life on earth? What did you picture? It's interesting. Now that I have your minds contemplating judgment, you may well be asking yourselves, what will I be judged on? Let us return to our scripture, for it says, for the things done while in the body, for the things done while in the body. You may be wondering what things. Well, the most obvious things are our actions. The most obvious things are actions. What do you do on a daily-to-day basis? But a judgment. One of the things that came to my mind was how well we treat others. With respect, with contempt, or with indifference. How well did you treat others? How well we treated ourselves. With the same thing, with respect, with contempt, with indifference. This is a good place to start, our physical actions. Where do our physical actions come from? They come from our thoughts. What thoughts do you dwell on during the day? What thoughts come to mind as you deal with other people? Our thoughts come and they send out signals through our nerves and they come to our muscles and the actions start happening. And we're going to be judged on those actions. So the actions we do in our bodies are a direct result of the thoughts we generate in our minds. And the thoughts we generate in our minds are a direct result of what's in our spirits. What's in your spirit? Did you ever have that interesting moment when you're dealing with someone who just aggravates you to the point of grinding your teeth? What's in your spirit at that moment? What is your spirit being controlled by? Do you have to hold yourself back wanting to choke them? I have those moments. I have those moments. Our spirits. What's in our spirits? What controls your spirit? What controls your spirit? Let us return to our scripture reading, and I'm going to move up a little further in that reading. I want to go up a little further in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We live by faith, and this is the seventh verse, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith is an interesting concept, isn't it? It baffles those around us, okay? People that are unsaved, when they look at Christians who are living by faith and not by sight, it baffles them because they're living by the faith they have in themselves. They run about the world doing exactly what they want to do, while we, on the other hand, are living by faith. And we're supposed to be in contact with the Holy Spirit that He's directing us, our actions. His Spirit is impacting our spirit, and our spirit is filling our minds with those thoughts of bringing glory to God, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is that what Christians do? Does everybody do that? I only do it sometimes. There's times when I fall terribly. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, living by faith and not by sight. Would you turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8? If you would turn to Ephesians. It says that we have these actions to do while we're here on earth, right? We have things that need to be done. And I'm starting in verse 8, and I'm going to read through verse 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That seems to be contradicting itself a little bit, doesn't it? But if you break it down and you look at it, we are saved by grace and not of our works, okay? Once that occurs, you cannot work for your salvation. But once you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you are saved, then it says very right after that, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You're not working for salvation, but after salvation, you do good works for the kingdom. God has prepared those works for you to do. And if I've kind of taken you kind of around a little bit, I'm going to bring this all back into that first scripture I talked about. Those works we're going to be judged on. Those are the works we're going to be judged on, what you did for the kingdom. And there's all kinds of different works. Part of our works is reading the Word. That is a work. Part of our work is prayer. We have to work at prayer. Worship. This is sort of a work. We come here and we get together and we worship. It's part of our work. And our fellowship, that's part of our work. When we do those things with the proper attitude, because attitude is everything. Amen? Your attitude is everything. If I would come to this worship service and preach to you, because I want you to look at me. Ho-ho, look at Dave strutting around up here a little bit with a bum leg. Huh? Nice suit. Oh, yeah. I want you to look at me. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. I come here to glorify God. Right attitude. It's all about Him, people. Everything you do, every job you do, every moment of your life should be bringing glory to God. And Jesus is going to examine each and every moment of your life. From the time you were saved until the rapture or until you passed away. He's going to look at your thoughts. He's going to look at your actions. He's going to look how those thoughts and attitudes line up with the actions. All right? And I'm not picking on anybody, please. Don't take that as I'm picking on anyone, okay? But say a Sunday school teacher. Or a children's church teacher. If they're doing that work for a selfish motive, we're going to call it hay, wood, and stubble. Hay, wood, and stubble. What happens when you take a fire to hay, wood, and stubble? It burns up. There's nothing left but ashes. And when the wind blows, the ashes go away and there's nothing there. But if you do that work for the glory of God, only for the glory of God, Jesus fashions that into gold, silver, and precious gems that can withstand the fire. And as they come through the fire, He fashions that into a crown. So take any part of your life, anything you do, anything. Are you doing it for the glory of God? Will it bring Him glory? Or are you doing it for selfish desires, selfish ambitions? It's all going to get looked at, people. I use myself as an example. Everything that I have done since I have been saved is going to be looked at. Everything you did before you were saved was sin. And Christ took that upon Himself on the cross. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you greet somebody who think might be a Christian, do you ask them, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? I do. Why do we say Lord and Savior? Is Jesus really your Lord? Do you allow Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to direct your lives, to direct your actions? I used to think, until I got this sermon, that when we all got to heaven, we're all going to be equal. As Pastor Rich would say, wrong. We're not going to be equal. We're not going to be equal. The position that you hold in heaven is directly proportional to what you've done in the body on this earth. How you praised God. Did you put your all into it? This is a proving ground, people. This is where you get to practice. This is where you get to learn. When you get to heaven, when that final moment comes, whether it's the rapture or you breathe your last, it's over. You cannot work for the Lord Jesus anymore. You're done. You can't get there, and He reviews everything and looks at your life, and you go, wait a minute, Lord, can I kind of redo that? Can I get a second try at this exam? No. It is final. Your life here counts towards eternity. That's what it says in here. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3. It's not too far away. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting in verse 10. And this really opens up 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting in verse 10. This is Paul speaking again, and he's speaking of himself, but we can equate this to ourselves also. By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, gold, silver, or costly stones, those are the actions that we do for God's glory. Those are the times when the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this, and you did it for the glory of God. That is gold, silver, and costly stones. And as we read on, wood, hay, or straw. Wood, hay, or straw. That's our selfish ambitions. Those are our selfish desires. Those are the moments when the Holy Spirit said, move. And you didn't move. You said to yourself, oh, I don't want to do that. Hay or wood, hay, and stubble to be burned up. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. There's going to be rewards in heaven. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. People, how you're living your lives right now determine whether you will have reward or loss in heaven. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That is an extraordinary thought. We're not all going to be equal in heaven. There's going to be positions laid out for people. The positions closest will be those of people who listened to God, who listened to the Holy Spirit, who did the works that God had prepared for them. Excuse me. There are works prepared for you. Do you know what they are? You have no idea what they are unless you're listening to the Holy Spirit. They're the works that God prepared. If God asks you to teach a Sunday school lesson and you don't do it, you're saying, no, God, I don't think I want to do that. Wood, hay, stubble. Gone. But when you do it for His glory, whatever you do for His glory, gold, silver, precious stones. You're building a legacy that is going to follow you to heaven, and Christ is going to judge it. Do you understand? Is it sinking in? When I was going through this and preparing this sermon, I was like, oh man, this is something I hadn't quite wrapped my mind around before. But I have a standing in heaven. Do you know who's going to be standing in the back? The people smelling of smoke for all eternity. They were saved, but they didn't do anything for God's glory. They didn't do the works that God had prepared for them. And they're going to be standing way in the back. Quite a few years now, when I go to church, I like to sit up front. A lot of people don't like to sit up front. I've seen that in churches. The front pews are always the empty ones. You ever notice that? Like right here. We've got four empty chairs up here, and there's three over here. Doesn't that make you curious? I like to sit up front. Because I want to be real up close to that minister when he's preaching. I want to see his nostrils flare. I want to see his beard rustle. I told my grandson that there's a squirrel living in here. I want to see if that squirrel jumps out. He hunts for it every night. There's a squirrel living in my beard. People tend to take the back seats. Not so in heaven. People are going to want to be up front. And you're going to be told where you can be. People smelling of smoke with no crown, with no reward other than heaven will be way in the back. Standing room only. Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be way in the back? Or you want to be right up front? Where the glory of God is just pouring out on those people and the worship is going on. I mean, it's going to be worship everywhere. But where do you want to be? When Jesus examines your life and He's going over every minute detail and you're standing there right aside of Him and the flames are coming out of His eyes and He's just burning up the hay, wood, and stubble in your life, the history of your life, and He's pulling out the gold and the silver and the gems. Judgment. Does judgment feel different now when you say the word judgment in your mind? Judgment. It's going to be a judgment of love. Jesus is not going to be upset with you. He loves you. But He can only work with what you provided him. Did you listen? Did you care? Did you love? Did you love the Lord Jesus more than your life and were willing to lay it down and do what he asked you to do in each and every moment? I look at my life and I go back, rewind the wheel, the reel of the 8mm movie, get back to there. And I remember the day I got saved in a Holy Roller tent revival one summer. And then I didn't do nothing with it. Hay, wood, and stubble. Burnt. Burnt. Burn. Oh, here's a little jewel maybe. Burnt. Burnt. Until that moment that the Holy Spirit slapped me after I was married and had children. I wasn't going to church anywhere. I'd go to church sporadically. But I was under the delusion, oh, I'm saved. I'm good. My ticket's punched. Oh, I got my ticket. It wasn't until I realized I have children. I started going back to church. And then God said, you know what? You're going to do this over here. And I went, okay. I went over and did that. Worked with the youth at this church. In Sunday school. And then God said, okay, I'm going to put you over here. And I went, okay, all right. I started listening. And all that time way back there, if someone had said to me, you're going to study to be a minister someday, I'd have laughed at them. Me, a minister? The sinful, drunken, pot-smoking idiot is going to be a minister? I'd have laughed. When my wife first met me, she'd have laughed too. Right, honey? Him? Dave, a minister? Black leather jacket? Really long hair? Wild? Not much changed, right? Well, it's a black suit coat. I never would have thought he would have called me to be a minister. But I'm listening now. And is it easy? No. It's not easy. It's not easy. Ask anybody, anybody. Ask Pastor Rich, ask Marion, ask Mitch. Ask anybody here who follows the Holy Spirit. It's not easy. It's hard. It's hard. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every second. There are ministers out there, and I know one personally. Their church decided, well, certain people in the congregation decided, they didn't want him around anymore. So they made his life difficult. They made it more difficult. They made it more difficult. Okay? And as they were doing that, they were making wood, hay, and stubble. And the people in the church that loved that minister but didn't stand up for him, hay, wood, and stubble. The people that stood up for him, because he is a man of God, gold, silver, precious gems. Your actions count. But even more important is your attitude in those actions. What attitude do you have today? What reward is going to be for you in heaven? Think about it. And no matter how old you are or how young you are, you can start this moment laying those treasures away, laying those rewards away. All you need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. And you have all, Bob, when I called Bob to talk to him this week, he said, oh, we were doing the parable of the talents. So that's all pretty fresh in your mind, isn't it? The parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. Now, a parable is a story directly relating to some truth in God's kingdom. And this is Jesus speaking, and I'm going to read that parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. The master said, "You entrusted..." "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained you 2 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Can you imagine how he answered? "Master," he said, probably in a very timid voice, knowing, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God has given you, and I don't want to use the word talents as in money, but talents as in abilities. He has given you time, and he has given you opportunity to work for him. Think about it. You had no choice of being born. But God placed you in this place at this time for his purpose. You weren't born 150 years ago. You weren't born 350 years ago. There is a purpose for your life here and now. And you need to discover what that is and get to it. I don't want to sound harsh, but reality is coming. Time is running out. If you can't see it by the way the culture is going on in this world, go look at Israel. There is the timetable over there. You don't look at America, although you look at the culture and say, "Wow, talk about sin." Look at Israel. I'm not being prophetic here. God has not given me the day and the hour, but I'm telling you, we are closer than ever. And things are getting worse. And the people of this world, the authorities and the people that control the media and stuff, they're not telling us everything. So what I've seen, it might be far worse. There's only so much time. And then comes the judgment.
And I have a friend that introduced me
my Kindle went to sleep. My prayer is that you don't act like a Kindle and go to sleep. Not at this time. Oh, my. Our attitudes and what we do determine what rewards you will get. And what about the rewards? What reward are you going to get? Well, part of my sermon series here that I am supposed to take care of this morning is the crown of life. Just one of the rewards that you will receive. We're going to James, chapter 1, verse 12. James, chapter 1, verse 12. Reading in the book of James, the first chapter, the 12th verse. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love God? Who here loves God? Do you really? Do you really? Do you do what he asks you to do? If you love someone and they say, could you go over here and do this, even though it's hard? You go and do it, right? Look at mothers. They love their children. They expend, and I know because I watch mothers, I have married to one, an enormous amount of energy doing the things they need to do for children and grandchildren. They do it out of love. So if you want to receive the crown of life, you need to love God more than you love your life. There's a whole world of people out there just running amok. They love their lives. They love to be on Facebook. They love to be on YouTube doing all kinds of nutty stuff. There's debauchery. There's all kinds of just sin everywhere. And they love doing it. They can't wait to get to it. And then they take a video of it and put it on YouTube. Extraordinary. They don't love God. They could care less about God. They don't even believe in Him. But I tell you what, one day they're going to stand before Him and give an account of their lives. And there's going to be such a wailing and gnashing of teeth and crying and throwing themselves down on those marble floors that are before the throne of God, before our Lord Jesus, and wailing, going, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. Nobody told me. And Jesus says, review their life. And their life will be reviewed. And every time that one of you spoke to that person and said, Jesus loves you, their mouths are going to be shut. But are you out there doing the works that God gave you to do? Telling the people, warning them, you're not going to be popular. I got guys at work, have their little cell phones, little smartphones. They're looking at pornography. They go, hey, Dave, look. And I turn away because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And then I warn them. Do you know what you're doing to your relationship with your wife looking at that? Do you know what you're doing to your soul, you single person, looking at that nonsense? Warn people. Love God and warn them. Love Him more than you love your life. And you'll receive the crown of life. There's rewards in heaven. But your attitude here towards the deeds that you're doing makes all the difference. Would you pray with me this day? Father in heaven, I ask a blessing upon each and every person here. I pray that they have heard Your voice saying that the time is short. I have works for You to do. I have jobs for You to do. Please put on the right attitude of love towards me and get to it. That is what He's saying. There are people sliding into hell. And we could have warned them. So, Father, I ask a blessing upon each and every person here. Strengthen them, energize them, build them up in the Spirit, that they may walk by faith and not sight, that they may put their faith in You, Holy Spirit, and You direct them each and every moment, each step, contemplating each word they say. For all is being recorded, all will be taken into account. To Your glory, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.